Welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. My co-host Tom Hudson is out this week. Well, COVID cases and hospitalizations continue to rise around the state, but Florida is staying open for business, especially when it comes to the state's restaurants and bars. Governor Ron DeSantis made that clear at a news conference Tuesday.
Some may want to shut you down. We want to pull you up. We've got your back. If you're somebody who's a waitress or a cook or you're a family-owned business, you're an important part of our state. You're working folks who are working hard to make a living. You have every right to do that, and you can take it to the bank in the state of Florida. You're going to have that right.
Now, in making this call, the governor said most COVID cases actually stem from gatherings at home. He also noted that about 40 states have a higher number of COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations per capita than Florida. As of Wednesday, Florida recorded more than 1.5 million coronavirus cases and more than 20,000 deaths. Now, the governor's remarks come as the state awaits the arrival of the new Moderna vaccine for the virus. And that, of course, follows the delivery of the Pfizer vaccine for coronavirus sent out to five hospitals around the state at the start of this week. A little later this hour, we'll find out how the Moderna vaccine will be distributed here. But first, a coalition of doctors and public officials has a message for the governor this week. The group Doctors Fighting COVID is made up of more than 1,000 physicians across the state, and they've joined with some Florida mayors and other officials to ask Governor DeSantis to issue a statewide mask mandate. Now, this isn't the first time they've asked DeSantis to change his COVID policy. These doctors say even with the vaccine's arrivals, now is not the time to let our guard down. So let us know, Florida, are you still masking up? What are your thoughts about calls for a mask mandate here and other measures to protect us in the pandemic? 305-995-1800. Wherever you are in the state, 305-995-1800. Give us a call. Tweets to @FloridaRoundup as we welcome Dr. Nancy Stotz. She's board certified in anesthesia and critical care and one of the founders of Doctors Fighting COVID. Also on the line, Mayor Elaine Brown of Neptune Beach, Florida. Good to have you both on the show.
Thank you, Melissa. Good morning, Melissa.
Good to be here.
Great to have you both, ladies. Let's begin with you, Dr. Stotz. Some good news after a very tough year as we see vaccines coming to the state. The Pfizer vaccine is here. The Moderna product is on its way. But your group, Doctors Fighting COVID, has a message of continued caution and vigilance. Why did you decide to speak out this week and send this appeal to Governor DeSantis?
Well, a couple of reasons, Melissa. I think it's human nature as you get close to the end of something to want to relax and not be vigilant. And we are seeing surges upon a surge throughout the rest of the country, and we really don't want Florida to get into the position that Southern California is in right now with 100% utilization of their ICU beds. And also, there seem to be a lot of frankly, mixed messages and poor messaging coming from the governor's office, and it's hurting our local leaders and it's hurting our citizens.
And when you say mixed messaging on the virus, what do you mean by that?
I mean encouraging restaurant utilization, for example, where we know that that is one place where COVID can be easily transmitted. We believe that controlling the virus is the best way to get our economy going. We don't want to shut down. We want people to be able to have all businesses open and get through this with as few deaths as possible. But when people older than 55 or 65 especially are dining out, they're actually exposing themselves to significant risk, and it just, in the end, is not worth it.
What would you like to see the governor do, since he's saying there's no way we're going to shut businesses down again in Florida? As a physician and as part of this consortium of physicians, what would you prefer the state to do to reduce the spread of disease in places like restaurants?
Right. So It's really very basic and straightforward, and it's been done across the world. But specifically, what I would love to see is limitations on indoor dining to you know, maybe 25%, and discouraging indoor exercise areas. And we need to support our frontline workers and our everyday hardworking Floridians with economic relief, and we need to untether and unmuzzle our local leaders like Mayor Brown and other mayors throughout our state who are trying to keep their communities safe. And it would be amazing if there could be some great modeling behavior on the part of leadership as to how to act and what to do.
Let's go to a leader now. It's Mayor Elaine Brown of Neptune Beach. Mayor Brown, you know, there is a mask mandate in Duval County, Jacksonville, where Neptune Beach is located. At the same time, though, the governor has overridden many Florida cities' attempts to enforce these mandates. So you're one of several mayors joining Doctors Fighting COVID to send this message. As the mayor of Neptune Beach, how important is it to you as a public official to have local control over these kinds of public health initiatives?
Well, Melissa, quite frankly, I'm very, very pleased with the restaurants that in Neptune Beach, in fact, in most of the beaches, with how well they are distancing tables and masking up. And I'll be honest with you, at every chance we get, and whenever we speak, and all three mayors, I'll include in this at the beaches, you know, it is to wear your mask. And as I said the other day, the best gift that you can give to anybody is to wear your mask. Mask up for the holidays and stay away from, you know, large gatherings. That's really the message that we want to get out.
Sure. And you've joined other mayors around the state, along with these hundreds of physicians that are part of Doctors Fighting COVID. Mayor Brown, your family has been personally affected by COVID-19 as well. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we've got a son that has been twice now on a ventilator, and he's been in the hospital 29 days, 30 actually now. And we're finally getting some hope that maybe he's starting to improve and could be going to a rehab pretty soon. So a lot of people have sent their prayers to David, and we're certainly starting to feel a little bit better here.
Well, that is great news. And as so many families know, this virus is serious. And as we're hearing from the group Doctors Fighting COVID, they're being joined by public officials, mayors around the state, asking the governor for a statewide mask mandate and encouraging everyone to keep masking up through the holiday season. Let us know your thoughts about this here on the Florida Roundup, wherever you are in the state. Are you masking up? What do you think about mask compliance in your neck of the woods? 305-995-1800. Maria is in Miami. Hi, Maria. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So I keep remembering that we are at the worst point that we have ever been. I'm still taking as many precautions as I was at the beginning. But right now, because I understand a little better how the virus works, I am giving myself some license on seeing friends, but always in like a park, an open space, wearing masks with social distancing. So that's the balance that I'm keeping. And definitely DeSantis does not have our back if he, in the first place, is not supporting us financially by returning the money that we give to the state so that we can stay at home safely and not have to, you know, risk our lives, you know, business owners' lives at the expense of, you know, them lining their pockets.
Maria, thanks for the call. Dr. Nancy Stotz, certainly Governor DeSantis has come in for strong criticism of his handling of the pandemic, although business owners really like his stance on his COVID policy. Have you heard from the governor's office as you've reached out to him and asked him to institute a mask mandate for Florida?
First, let me just say again to Mayor Brown that we are so sorry for what she is going through, and we send our best wishes for her son's full recovery. We have not heard from the governor. I do want to take a quick opportunity and thank Mayor Curry publicly again for the mask mandate for Duval County, which I know has saved many lives and met much illness.
Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We haven't heard, and I just want to make sure that people don't, somehow there's been a message that you have to either use good public health precautions or you open the economy and, you know, don't worry about them at all, that there's this binary choice out there, and somehow folks mistakenly think that public health means no businesses are open. And I would point to Disney World as a great example of a place that has opened. They're strict on their rules, but they've done very well, have had no outbreaks to my knowledge, and it shows that it can be done. There are certain areas that we really have to be careful with, but the vast majority of businesses can be open.
Mayor Brown, what are your thoughts about that, this notion that Dr. Stotz mentioned, that people tend to see this as a binary choice, either we're fully open or we're fully closed? But what about her contention that we can keep businesses open while still keeping everybody safe with a more measured approach? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, Melissa, and I said this the other day when we did the press conference, people have responsibility. And if I go into a restaurant and it looks like their staff isn't masking up, that they don't have their tables separated, I won't go back or I won't stay in there. And I think that's what I'm hearing from people that I talk to. They go to places where they do feel safe. And the restaurants that are doing what they can to make sure that you've got hand sterilizers available when you walk in or at your table, or you can request it, and then all of their staff is masked, and a lot of them are not even using, you know, menus, and you can just, you know, use your phone and get the menu on your phone, or they're using paper that can be disposable. So I think that, you know, we have to look out for ourselves and take the responsibility of not going into places that are not safe. And I, too, want to keep the restaurants open, and I feel as though the restaurants that I've gone to are certainly practicing very well. I went to one, and I'm not going back there again because their staff was not wearing the mask, so I'm just not going back in there.
Lots of tweets. Here's one from a listener. My family is being very cautious. We mask up, we use hand sanitizer, and we stay home most of the time. We order takeout to support businesses, but my husband is an ICU nurse. We don't take risks. This isn't hard. Let's save lives, people, she says. Here's another tweet from a listener. We need a mask mandate. What do you think about the call from the group Doctors Fighting COVID asking Governor DeSantis to put in a mask mandate for the state of Florida? It's 305-995-1800. Angie is in Davie, Florida. Hey, Angie, thanks for calling the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I work in healthcare, and I think that it is really negligent of Governor DeSantis to not have a mask mandate. It is one of the easiest things to implement. Of course, everyone's livelihood depends on, you know, having small businesses open. All we are asking is that people wear a mask. It's so simple. Working in healthcare, you still see people dying every single day, but it's not being publicized as much as it was in the beginning. And having ICUs reach capacity, having COVID floors need to spill out into other floors, this is something that's just so easy to do. All you have to do is wear a mask, and everyone just needs to stop being lazy. We're so close to the end of this, but by being lazy in this last hour before the vaccine is able to reach everyone is going to cause serious consequences.
Thanks, Angie. Mayor Brown, you know, Governor DeSantis has said he doesn't want to mandate this. And now that vaccines are imminent, are you concerned at all that people might become more lax in their mask wearing? And what do you think? I mean, do you think the governor should call for a mask mandate? Are you asking him as a public official to do that?
Well, I've talked to many mayors across the state, and there are such great mandates out there right now, and there are such requests from, you know, business leaders and from elected officials to wear masks. But, you know, as we're looking at the numbers, and Dr. Stats certainly, you know, knows them and you know them, Melissa, we're seeing them go up. And my biggest fear right now is we've got a testing placed right here at the beach on Atlantic Boulevard, and it's the old Kmart Shopping Center that has been free testing. They had over 130 people in line yesterday to get tested, and now they're running out of funding. So as of now, as of this weekend, tomorrow, Saturday, there will no longer be free testing there. And this is so important to me and to the beaches area because, you know, they're going up, the people that are staying safe, they're doing good. But if you get a scare and you heard you've been with somebody that has tested positive, you need to get tested and get tested right away. And to lose this right now would be really a misfortune for all of us. The masking is so good and so wonderful with so many of the restaurants that are here and in public places. Publix and the grocery stores are doing a great job. But I have to say that there are a lot of people that are still getting exposed to it, needing testing, and we need to keep it available for them.
Jim in Deerfield Beach. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm a high school math teacher, and, you know, the kids have no problem wearing masks, and I have no problem wearing a mask. It's common sense. I don't understand why DeSantis, he's a politician, not a medical expert. And, you know, it's such common sense just to wear a mask. This is not a big deal.
Thanks, Jim. You know, Dr. Stotts, Mayor Brown mentioned that people choose businesses based on how they're approaching safety. I know of people that will drive across the county line to go to a grocery store or a shop because they want to shop in Duval County, which has a mask mandate, rather than St. John's County, say, that doesn't. That's really the rationale, isn't it, for you begging the governor basically to make this a statewide mandate? Because depending on where you go in the state, you might see a lot more compliance than other places.
Correct. So it comes down, first I want to just echo what Mayor Brown said, that the testing, absolutely we need to have it. We need to have it funded, period, full stop. We have 67 counties in Florida, of which at last count around 13, maybe 15, have any sort of mask regulation. So we have a long way to go. We could be doing so much better. And unfortunately, there's a small segment of folks who just, you know, are not into really rules. And unless you have the ability to enforce it, that they're really not going to comply. And it's for the sake of all of us, but can I just say, with the vaccine so close, this is really to prevent our healthcare system from being acutely overwhelmed so that we can care for folks who maybe have other intensive care unit needs beyond COVID. And so this is really, it's a selfless thing to do, but it's also selfish in that you're protecting yourself. But you're protecting your community.
Well, yes, thank you both so much. She's Dr. Nancy Stotts, one of the founders of Doctors Fighting COVID. Mayor Elaine Brown of Neptune Beach, both making this appeal to the governor this week, part of a big consortium of folks. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Melissa.
A quick break, and still to come, the Moderna vaccine is on its way here to the Sunshine State. You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Tom Hudson is out this week. Well, the Moderna vaccine is on its way here to Florida. According to the plan the state released Wednesday, pending emergency use authorization by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, Florida is preparing to receive some 367,000 doses of the Moderna vaccine as soon as next week. Now, doses of the Moderna shot will be distributed to 173 different hospital locations. These are hospitals that did not get the Pfizer vaccine distribution earlier this week. Now, the list of the Moderna sites spans 43 counties around the state. So right now, Florida, let us know. What are your questions about the new Moderna vaccine? It's 305-995-1800. Tweets to at Florida Roundup. As we welcome Dr. Jason Wilson, Associate Medical Director of ER at Tampa General, and also Associate Professor with USF Health. Dr. Wilson, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
So it sounds like the Moderna vaccine is getting far wider distribution than the Pfizer product. That just went to 5 Florida hospitals. And is that due to the fact that the Pfizer vaccine requires super cold temperatures?
Yeah, both the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines are what we call mRNA vaccines. So exciting new vaccine technology that allows a little mRNA piece to go into the cell and basically acts as an instruction booklet, just creating more and more of this spike protein to make antibodies against. So similar in that way, but like you mentioned, different in the storage and production. Moderna spent a lot of time in the past couple of years thinking about how to get their mRNA to store at a easier to kind of logistically get to temperature, whereas the Pfizer one is at this kind of the research level temperature of negative 70 degrees Celsius. But overall, we're just happy that mRNA vaccine is rolling throughout Florida.
Absolutely. It's rated as 95% effective. That's my understanding, with relatively few adverse reactions and side effects. Tell us a little bit more about how people have been responding to the shot.
Sure. And, I got my shot on Tuesday, and really things have gone very well. I'm still here talking to you, so that's always a good plus.
You're still here. Good.
Couple of doctor friends and nurse friends of mine also got their shots, and just talking to everybody, things have been going very well. Most of us have complained about the same things you get from a flu shot or a tetanus shot. Well, I did have some soreness in my arm the next day, but by 48 hours really everyone was feeling much better. A couple people who've had COVID before maybe had a little bit more soreness and maybe some muscle soreness throughout the body as well, but again everybody was better by 48 hours, and this seems to mimic really well with what we're seeing from the published data in the New England Journal of Medicine article on December 10th for the Pfizer vaccine and then the Moderna data that was released to the FDA. We expect that about 85% of people are going to have some soreness at the injection site, but really overall we should expect very few side effects. Now, the Pfizer vaccine, we have seen maybe 3 allergic reactions, severe allergic reactions. But when you consider the whole world is watching and there's thousands and thousands of people getting vaccine into their arms right now, that's a pretty low number of side effects so far. So I think what we're seeing in the real world is really affirming what we saw in the studies thus far.
Good news. Now, Dr. Wilson, as we heard from the governor's office, pending FDA approval, doses of the Moderna vaccine will go out to nearly 200 locations around Florida. What can you tell us about the logistics of this vaccination program? That's the most common question we get here on the Florida Roundup. When can I get the vaccine? What's my place in line? How long will this take? What can you tell us about all of that?
Yeah, it's your most common question. I think it's my most common question too right now, from my mom all the way down to the neighbor and the postman. Everybody wants to know when they can get this vaccine. It's a fair question. Look, we want everybody to get vaccinated. And really this vaccine probably is safe for most people. Even pregnant women, American College of Gynecology has said, should be offered the vaccine. So this looks to be a safe vaccine for most people. But of course, it's going to take a little while to scale up that distribution throughout the entire area. So what we expect to see first is really your frontline healthcare workers and long-term care facilities get vaccinated. So the Pfizer vaccine, like you mentioned, a pretty limited supply has gone out, but it has started to already get vaccines to frontline healthcare workers, people taking care of COVID patients every day. In addition, I know there's entities that are distributing this vaccine to the long-term care facilities already, and this group of hospitals is much wider group of distribution sites now that are receiving the Moderna vaccine. Just watching social media, it's been pretty fun the past couple of days as I see all my, ER doctor and nurse friends throughout the entire state of Florida, get vaccinated. The pictures pop up a little bit more each day, so the scale is growing as we go along. But we would expect that, it's still going to be a little while, probably not until the, next year into January and February that we start to see vaccine move into
the general population and to patients and to people who maybe aren't working right on the front lines.
We're speaking with Dr. Jason Wilson, rather Associate Medical Director of ER at Tampa General, Associate Professor with USF Health. Give us a call as we talk about the arrival, the imminent arrival of the Moderna vaccine in Florida, 305-995-1800. And lots of tweets coming into the Florida Roundup. Tweet us at Florida Roundup. Doctor, here's a tweet from a listener. How long will the benefits of the vaccines last?
That's a great question. It goes along with the other side of that coin, which is a safety question. So a lot of people also ask, you're going to put this mRNA inside of my body. Is it going to become part of my genome? What's going to happen to all those little spike proteins this mRNA makes? Are they going to float around forever and get all tangled up in my cells? So here's the thing. The mRNA vaccine is going to just give you mRNA in your cells that make this spike protein that your body can react against. That's pretty cool. That's going to allow us to fight this COVID virus. Now, at the same time, though, those cells that make spike protein, mostly the muscle cells where you get injected and the nerve cells around that where you get injected, they're kind of signing their own death warrant. They're going to get taken out, too, by your body's immune system because they have that spike protein. So we see some safety benefit there because basically as time goes on, this goes away. But at the same time, it begs the question, well, am I going to have maintain immunity, say, a year from now or 2 years from now? We don't fully know the answer to that question yet. We're hopeful because we know that there's two different types of immunity, both the type where we see antibodies being produced, but also a different type called T-cell immunity, and that's got some memory to it. And so it's unclear right now as to whether, you know, a year from now if we see COVID again, if your body would just simply ramp back up that machinery with its own memory, or if we require a booster shot or another shot of this vaccine.
So then it could be like getting an annual flu shot. Potentially. Is that what you're possibly conjecturing?
The flu shot's a little different. Yeah, the flu shot's interesting because the flu shot we get annually because the flu changes so rapidly. The flu is a very evolving virus. And, you know, each year a group of experts has to predict what types of flus we're going to see that year. And, you know, so they have to create a vaccine against that. But when we think about like pertussis or tetanus, we do have to get boosters for those every few years to kind of keep that immunity up to par, up to snuff. And so we may have to do the same thing with this vaccine as well. Just don't know yet.
Here's a tweet from another listener. Forget Moderna for a moment. When will we know we can get these vaccines? I just heard this morning on NPR that Pfizer is sitting on millions of doses waiting for the president to tell them what to do with them. This is shameful. What about the logistical challenges, doctor, of getting these vaccines out to the population? Most public health experts have said we need about 70% of everybody in America vaccinated to develop that herd immunity, develop widespread immunity and protection. And we are hearing of issues with getting some of the Pfizer product out, at least. Over at Tampa General, where you are, you've received some Pfizer doses. Isn't that right?
That's right. And I always say when we stand up a new process or build a new process, it's always hardest to go from zero to something. So to go from no vaccine to 20,000 doses of vaccine on Monday, and many more thousands of doses throughout the state of Florida on Monday was pretty amazing. And so with any new process, we expect there to be some supply line hiccups, some logistical challenges. And I imagine some of those will just get ironed out in the wash as we go forward. Certainly, we want to get this vaccine out to as many people as quickly as possible. But, you know, there's, like you mentioned, there's some logistical challenges that will arise as we go through this. Now, it's not just hospitals, right? The Department of Health throughout the counties will also go to help with this. And there's also some private entities like CVS and Walgreens where vaccine can be distributed to as well. So I think as each of those entities kind of gets comfortable with their own internal processes, with the distribution from Pfizer to the states gets a little bit more smooth, I think as you see those things just kind of become more routine, that process kind of get hardwired, you're going to see this vaccine start to disseminate more quickly. I think there was a press announcement from Pfizer last night that did say we do have vaccine ready to go.
That's good news. And we're speaking now here on the Florida Roundup with Dr. Jason Wilson, Associate Medical Director of ER at Tampa General. What are your questions about the imminent arrival of the Moderna vaccine in Florida? The Pfizer vaccine is already here and being administered. 305-995-1800. Give us a call. Bonnie is in Ocala. Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. Dr. Wilson, I have a question. I heard weeks ago that there's no evidence, of course, yet, that if you get inoculated with the vaccine, whether or not you can transmit it to another person. You know, if you were to catch it, but you're inoculated, there's not evidence showing you can or you cannot pass it on to another person if you were to get COVID-19.
What about that, Dr. Wilson? Bonnie, thanks, Bonnie.
Yeah, it's actually a great point. It brings up a really great discussion point here. So one of the things that's going to be very important, even as we see more and more people get vaccinated, we need to keep on wearing masks and keep on practicing these public health mitigation strategies. The reason for that, like Bonnie alluded to, is that right now we just don't have the data to tell us whether or not this vaccine prevents what we call asymptomatic spread, meaning spread of virus in people who don't have any symptoms. The thing is, the way the vaccine trials were designed, we need to get this vaccine out as quickly as possible. So we need to determine that they actually, you know, prevent death and prevent mortality. And so the way these trials were designed was that people who did not have COVID were randomized to either receive the vaccine or to get a placebo, you know, a pretend copy of the vaccine. And people who got the vaccine compared to the people who didn't get the vaccine were followed. And when they developed symptoms of COVID, at that point they called the research team and then were tested for COVID. And so that means what we were really looking at was whether or not people got sick from COVID in this study. And what's very cool, where this 95% number comes from, is that in the Pfizer study, about 169 people in the group of people who did not get the vaccine got sick, but only a few people, about 8 or 9 people in the group of people in the vaccine group got sick. And so that's that 95% number. And so we only tested for COVID if you got sick. And so to Bonnie's point, we don't know yet if other people may have also had COVID who didn't get tested. So we need to keep on wearing our masks until, like you mentioned, we need to get to that point where enough people have had vaccine that we can knock out asymptomatic spread just by the fact that most of us are vaccinated.
Right. So important, everyone. Keep masking up for a little while longer. You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Bridget is on the line in Tampa. Hey, Bridget, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? My question is to Dr. Wilson. I tested positive for the antibodies in October, and I just had a test done the other day, and I'm still positive. I want to know why I need the vaccine if I already have the antibodies, because putting something into me, I think my antibodies are stronger inside than they are than putting something that I don't know about in my body. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, sure, Bridget. So Dr. Wilson, if you've had the virus, you have antibodies, should you be vaccinated or not?
Also a great question. And the answer is essentially yes. You probably still should get the vaccine. And the reason for this is because we know that while people do mount antibody against COVID, over a period of time, that antibody response does seem to decline. In addition, we think that the vaccine may actually cause a better antibody response, because what you're essentially doing is making a very specific spike protein that your body can react to, make very specific what's called neutralizing antibodies, the type of antibodies that really fight the war against infection. And we don't know from the native immunity, from your native immunity, whether or not all those antibodies are what we call neutralizing or not. In addition, we think the vaccine will probably do some priming of that other part of the immune system, that memory part of the immune system, which will, give you some protection as well. And, I will say, too, with this point that also often comes up as well, why should I not just wait and get COVID if I'm a young, healthy person versus get the vaccine? And, of course, the answer to that is the same, partially as the answer I just gave to that question. But in addition, don't forget, if you get COVID, you can get sick and mm-hmm. you can die. And you can get others very sick, and you're very infectious. And so we see a lot of benefits of this vaccine, both for people who've had COVID and for people who haven't.
What would you say to those listening who are vaccine skeptical, including healthcare workers? Some surveys of healthcare workers in Florida have shown a sizable percentage of even them are reluctant to get the vaccine. What's your message to people who are worried about its safety, its effectiveness, and they're waiting for others to go first? They're not ready to go to step up and offer their arm.
Yeah, and I understand those concerns, and there's a lot of disinformation out there. As a matter of fact, I think I've seen really three major themes of disinformation around this vaccine. One, that it becomes part of our genome. Two, that it causes infertility. And three, that it causes Bell's palsy. And very quickly, I mentioned that it does not become part of our genome. mRNA actually stays outside the cell nucleus, and eventually those cells die anyway because you're creating an antibody against them. And then two, there's really zero evidence this vaccine would cause any infertility. And I want to make sure that, I think this is an especially harmful piece of disinformation because we have so many young female reproductive age women working on the front lines of healthcare who need this vaccine. But there's really no evidence that this spike protein looks anything like a fertility type of protein at all. So if you see that on the internet, please recognize that disinformation. And third, in the trial, there were four people who got Bell's palsy, which is a weird little neurological disorder where half the face kind of gets paralyzed and then usually resolves. Four people had that in the Pfizer trial. But here's the thing. We expect in the population that 25 out of 100,000 people would have Bell's palsy at chance. And so that means if you do the math, we'd expect actually five people in the trial would have gotten Bell's palsy. So we are right within the normal numbers, if not one less than what we would expect.
So the bottom line, we're about to hit a break. The bottom line is don't be afraid of the vaccine. Get it when you can, doctor. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
I just gone through a phase 3 trial. The safety is very good. We should follow the FDA, but it's a safe vaccine. Please go get the vaccine.
Dr. Jason Wilson with Tampa General, director of the ER there. Thank you so much, doctor, for sharing this vital information. And in a moment, did the state downplay COVID deaths leading up to the November election? That's next here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. My co-host Tom Hudson is out this week. Well, a mysterious gap in Florida's coronavirus death data suggests that the state might have manipulated numbers to create more favorable death counts ahead of the November election. That, according to the South Florida Sun-Sentinel. Now, coronavirus deaths are often recorded days or even weeks after they happen, but the state abruptly stopped including older deaths that occurred more than a month earlier in its daily count starting on October 24th. The state began to include the older deaths in its daily counts once again on November 17th. Of course, that was 2 weeks after the election. Reporter Cindy Krischer-Goodman is with the Sun-Sentinel, and she joins us now. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show.
Great to have you. So your investigation found what you call a mysterious gap in the state's data when it comes to COVID deaths. What exactly did the numbers show or not show?
Well, we looked at the chart, and when you look at it and you chart it out, it's pretty astonishing. You see a lag in reporting of deaths. So what that means is the date between the actual death and the date between what the state reports it out on its daily tally. So the daily tally is the number that most of the public hears. And so we found that up through mid-October, it was right around the 21st when the state announced that it was going to add an extra layer of review to death. And then suddenly, and this was right before the election, the reporting of outdated death stopped. And you saw this, few deaths being reported during the time period. And then shortly after the election, you saw the lag come back again. And now it's just as great as it was before. They said that they were going to be reviewing all these cases.
What's the state's explanation for this? Have they responded to your investigation?
Well, they didn't respond to many, many attempts to ask asking for an explanation. We did run a story in today's paper
that suggests maybe there was political motivation behind this at the same time that Florida was calling for a review of deaths, so was Trump. And they said, we wanted to do review for quality assurance purposes, but still doesn't explain why there was a lag before and a lag after, and there's this big gap in the middle around the election time.
This is part and parcel of what you and other investigative reporters have found, isn't it, from the DeSantis administration throughout this pandemic? Difficulty getting transparency and updated data on coronavirus. What are some other examples that have happened this year that you can tell us about?
There have been a lot of examples, and there's a lot of frustration. It's not just the news media, but families of loved ones. You know, from the very beginning, we were trying to find out whether there were suspected cases in Florida. They didn't want to give us, the state didn't want to give out that information. Loved ones were trying to find out what nursing homes had COVID cases, what nursing homes had COVID deaths. The Department of Health didn't want to give out that information. We were trying to find out exactly who was dying from this virus, and that was difficult to find out. We did a really nice timeline in our paper showing month by month, every month in Florida, where there was some effort to get some public health information and where the DeSantis administration wouldn't give it out. At times, the news organizations or different legal advocacy groups actually sued for the information, and after a little bit of a fight, we did get it. But each bit of information has been difficult to get. The most latest lawsuit that the Sun Sentinel is involved in is to get the White House coronavirus reports in a timely manner. They're making recommendations to the state, and they don't necessarily fall in line with DeSantis' policies. And so the papers have had difficult time trying to get those reports.
We're speaking with Cindy Krischer Goodman of the South Florida Sun Sentinel about their investigation into Florida's reporting of coronavirus death data. Francis is in Fort Pierce. He's on the line for us. Hi, Francis. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I
she's
don't
on the line. Hi. Go ahead,
Governor. yes. Recently, Governor DeSantis publicly said Florida's in bad shape now because he doesn't have a direct line to President Trump, who lost. Apparently, saying that Biden is not going to be of any help to Florida. But to me, this is just kind of telegraphing to their base in Florida that maybe DeSantis is running for some of himself and not really interested in our health right now in Florida.
Thanks for that, Francis. Certainly, it's been no secret, Cindy, that Governor DeSantis has higher political aspirations. That said, his administration has strongly defended their response to the pandemic, although he has come in for quite a bit of criticism. What about the politics of this that Francis alluded to?
Unfortunately, there's so much politics involved in the state's coronavirus response, in the country's coronavirus response. But when we're looking at the state's coronavirus response, it's just difficult to know how much of it is politically motivated and how much is, you know, really, how much is trying to actually, you know, get Floridians the best public health information and the best public health access. In some ways, we have had some benefit by DeSantis' relationship with Trump. But at the same time, we have. It would be nice if we could get accurate, timely public health information in Florida so that people can make their own decisions, so that local leaders can make their own decisions. So, you know, that's at a newspaper, that's really what we have been trying to get out to the public, to let them know what information they've been given and what information they still might want. And what, you know, it's unfortunate we shouldn't have to sue or threaten legal action to be able to find out, you know, who's dying in the nursing home. Or, you know, now with the vaccine, it was going to be nice to know who's getting the vaccine and who isn't. So, and, you know, who might want access to it in the future. That's why having a trust in the communication coming from our governor and our governor's office is so important.
So important. You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. And to be clear, it's not just you pesky reporters asking for this information, right, Cindy? Epidemiologists have also tried to partner with the state on transparency of this data and have been making these same pleas for more transparency overall. Isn't that right?
Yes, a lot of state researchers and academics, they would like access to the data so that they can conduct research that they feel will help, that they can provide more guidance to Florida, but they can't get access to the information either. And they're just as frustrated as well. And, you know, that's an opportunity missed. We have some really amazing academics in Florida who have a lot of expertise in infectious disease and emerging pathogens who really want to be part of the solution, and they can't get the access to the information or research that might help them provide the people of Florida with you know, explanations or any kind of research that could help us. So hopefully, let's see. Hopefully going forward, that will change.
How would you say the DeSantis administration compares to other states? This is really a governor's deal. It's state by state, you see variances in how the pandemic is being addressed, depending on who the governor is. How does the DeSantis program compare to other states, other similarly sized, similarly ideologically suited states?
So what we found in our reporting is that the health department plays a greater role in some of these other states. They're part of the decision-making process. They are guiding a lot of the decisions. They are outspoken. Our Department of Health is run by a Surgeon General, and he hasn't really been seen much in the public since spring. And we don't know how much of a role he plays. He's not at public press conferences. He's not on calls with politicians who are making decisions on the county level or the local level. So that's where Florida is really differs in the role that our health department is playing, and then the transparency and the ability to get information out of the health department. And I know when they were making decisions about opening schools, there was some frustration that local health officials were not allowed to give any kind of guidance about what they were seeing. So I think that's really the difference. Florida is, we're fourth in the state, in the country, for the number of infections we have at the current time. So it would really be nice to have our health department more transparent and more part of the process.
A minute left in the show. With the new president coming in, how can we expect Governor DeSantis to interact with the feds when it comes to the pandemic?
That is a good question. I really don't know. I don't know how things are going to change. I don't know. He still is he's the top person for Florida. He makes the decisions. It's his call at the end of the day. If he's decided he doesn't want transparency, it's really his call. So it's really hard to know right now. I would imagine that he'll make every effort to make sure that Florida continues to get the vaccines that we need here and to get the stimulus money. And I'm sure that he'll make sure that the people of Florida aren't left behind. But it's really difficult.
Hard
to
say.
But
I encourage. We're out of time. I encourage everyone to read your reporting. Cindy Krischer Goodman of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Have a great holiday. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's our show, The Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are the producers. Jason Zabka is WLRN's Director of Radio Programming. Director of Radio Operations, Technical Supervisor is Peter Mertz. Engineering help from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. And our theme music by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next Friday at noon.